who taped CDs, DVDs to our publication Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom, write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
Wednesday morning, December the 28th, 1977. Lake Hamilton Bible Camp and Conference Grounds, camp meeting. Being held in Hot Springs, Arkansas, the speaker of the morning is Brother Carol McCarroll, Paducah, Kentucky.
I will enter.
Amen.
I will rejoice, for He has made me glad. He has made me glad. He has made me glad. I will rejoice.
Oh, blessed is the name of Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. You can be seated. Praise God. I'm glad that the Lord is growing up a people under Him. Thrilling thing to know that you're growing in the Lord. And I can tell a growth in myself, and I know that you can too. And whenever brother said, you know, he gets impatient with the Lord, I just want to remind all of you that God really wants us to get impatient with Him. He really wants us to. In Matthew 11:12, it says, the kingdom of God suffereth violence, and the violent take it by force. Amen. The parable that the Lord gave about the little woman who'd been treated unjustly. She just kept coming to the judge. She wouldn't take no. She would not stand for complacency. So she kept pushing on in. And what happened? The judge judged on her behalf. Remember the other parable he gave about the whole family was in bed. Here came a man knocking at the door, said, I had somebody come and visit me, and I want some bread. And he said, oh, man, he said, we're all in bed. He said, don't bother us. Leave us alone. That man just kept on beating at the door. He said, get up, give me some. Alone. I wonder if you understand how that they slept in that day. Most of the time, in little homes, they slept on the floor. It was their bed, their living room, their kitchen. And generally, they'd take the oldest child. He'd be closest to the door, then the next oldest, and the next oldest. And then finally, would be the baby in the mama's arms, and then the papa. And whenever he got up, he had to get everybody up to get to the door, don't you see? And it was a very inconvenient thing. But this fellow just kept beating on the door, kept hollering. He said, get up and give me some bread. Get up and give me some bread. And what did he do? He got up and got him some bread. And I like what it tells us. Whenever Jesus met the Syrophoenician woman, and the woman said, and she came for the deliverance of her little girl, and Jesus said, no, that it's not right for me to take the children's bread and to give it to the dogs. And she said, but Lord, said, even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from the master's table. Oh, hallelujah. What is that bread? Well, it's healing. It's deliverance. It's everything that God's got. Who does it belong to? It belongs to the children. Hallelujah. How many of you are children of God here this morning? I said, how many of you are children of God? Well, say amen. Hallelujah. Jesus said, if you don't praise me, the stones will. Now, if you want all the stones in the fireplace to start speaking today, well, that's all right. Amen. I'm glad that I'm a child of God. And I'm going to push in. The Lord tells us in Isaiah to remind him, put him in remembrance of what he said. If he said it, remind him of it. Get in there and remind God. And when I first read about how that Abraham Jewed God, no wonder they call the Jews Jews. Man, he Jewed God, didn't he? But I thought, my, how could a man do that to the Lord? How they? You know, God said, I'm going to destroy the cities, Sodom and Gomorrah. Abraham said, well, Lord, if there be 50 righteous, will you spare it? He said, yes, I'll spare it for 50. Abraham wasn't satisfied. He said, if there be 40, yes, 40. 30, yes, 30. I thought, my, how could a man have that type of boldness to come before Almighty God like that? You see, that's what God wants us to do. God wants us to do that. Jacob wrestled with God. God wrestled with Jacob. God wants us to become violent, not take no for an answer, to push in, say, thus saith the Lord, decree a thing, he said in the Old Testament, it shall be established unto you. Again in Isaiah, he said, that I will create the fruit of thy lips. I like that. Push in. Let God be God. And he is the creator. How to speak it into existence anytime. Blessed be his holy name. And I like the way that Brother told him this morning about healings. Everybody wants an instantaneous healing. Well, instantaneous manifestation of their healing. Well, now, I was healed of kidney stones, but I didn't have any manifestation of it. None at all. Like one brother who's a friend of mine said, I received the baptism of the Holy Ghost without speaking in tongues. They said 5 minutes later, or 5 seconds later, I spoke in tongues. Hallelujah. I didn't get that. Let me come across that again. He said, I received the baptism of the Holy Ghost without speaking in tongues. He said, 5 seconds later, I spoke in tongues. You see, tongues isn't the baptism of the Holy Ghost. It's the evidence of it. And I'll tell you what, if you walked up to me today and said, hey, Pastor, I'm going to go to Israel with you. I'm going to go to Israel. I think, boy, that's nice. I've had a lot of people tell me that. But whatever you put your deposit down and say, yes, I'm going to go. Hey, I'll believe it. Praise God. Amen? Amen. If you can't say amen, say, oh, me. Because I want the evidence. The night the Lord healed me of kidney stones, I've been praying, and I said, Lord, I see healing in the Word of God. This has been 11 years ago, almost 12 now. But I see healing in the Word of God. I'd like to be able to preach it with as much conviction as I can preach salvation. But I said, I've got a salvation testimony, and I'd like to have a healing testimony, because then I feel like I could really preach it with great conviction. Well, I was walking through the house praying, and I went into the kitchen, and I drew me a glass of water, and I drank it. And after I finished drinking it, I said, amen. I went to bed. And folks, no sooner I got in bed and got straightened out, I had the most uncomfortable feeling come over me. So I got up, and I thought maybe it'll leave. And I went into the bathroom to relieve myself and got no relief. Came back and laid down again, and that same thing came on me again. So I got up, and this time I went into the bathroom to sit down on the edge of the bathtub. I thought, my, what's happening to me? I already forgot my prayer, see. Sometimes we pray and we forget what we prayed. Hadn't been 10 minutes. And suddenly, it was the most terrific pain I'd ever had in my life. Began in the small of my back and shot around to the pit of my stomach, up to my armpit, down to my hip. I was one constant, continuous ball of pain. And I knew what it was because 2 years before I'd had a kidney stone attack. And at that time, Bonnie Sue was expecting our first child, Valerie. And the doctor came in. We had a doctor that time. He came to the house. That's the way he used to come to the house, you know. And he looked at me, and he began to laugh. And I thought, my God, what are you laughing at? You know, man, I was hurting. And he said, well, he said, now you know what it's like for a woman to have a baby. He said, that's the nearest thing that I can, you know, compare. Kidney stone attack with labor pains. I thought, my. I said, that'll be the end of it. But I soon forgot that, too. Hallelujah. Now, if I had to get a drink of water every once in a while, please excuse me. But anyhow, that night I tried everything. I called Bonnie Sue, and I always carried a little oil cap in my pocket. And I asked her to come in and anoint me with oil. And so she went on the dresser and got my little oil cap, and she came back to anoint me with oil. And I said, honey, I said, that's not enough oil. So she went in, and she got the bottle of oil, you know, and she came back, and she anointed me with oil, and she prayed. And, you know, all the time that she was praying, God's Spirit began to say to me, said, son, call for the elders of the church. Well, we had just been promoted from the Baptist church with the right foot of disfellowship, and we and we hadn't had time to really get, deacons in the church and elders and all this. And so I said, well, Lord, we don't have any. And he said, well, if you did have some, is there anybody qualified in the church? And I thought, well, yeah, there's a couple of fellas, but they all got to work, you know, and it was after midnight. And they all had to get up real early. Besides that, the next morning I was to preach a convention in Kansas City. And I said, Lord, if you're going to heal me, you can heal me with Bonnie Sue praying for me. But still the word of God kept coming to me. Call for the elders of the church. Let them anoint you with oil in the name of the Lord. The prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise them up. I did everything. I stood on my head. I thought if I could just, you know, jump hard enough that I could knock that thing loose, you know. I stood on my head. I jumped up and down. I did jumping jacks. Honest to God, I became a holy roller that night. Well, let's say I became a roller. I don't know how holy it was. And finally, I could get enough relief by just taking both hands and pressing down as hard as I could on that kidney and the small of my back. And I could just get enough relief that I could stand it. Just enough. And finally, it was so bad, I called my wife. I said, honey, call these two men. And so it was after midnight, it was about 1:30, and she called them, and it was as if they were sitting by the telephone waiting for me to call. And in 5 minutes, they were there. At this time, I was laying on the floor in front of the couch in the living room, had my pajamas on, and we had this big quart bottle of oil. Now, we didn't have olive oil. This was bath oil. We thought oil's oil, you know, hallelujah. And so it was sitting there on the coffee table. And so they came in, and Bonnie Sue very quickly related to them what was wrong. And I can see them right now in my mind's eye and my memory. They fell down on the floor beside me. They pulled my pajama top up. And I guess they thought if a little bit of oil would do good, a whole lot would do better. And they poured almost that whole bottle, a whole quart of oil on my back and rubbed it in the name of Jesus. And if anything, it got worse. If it could have hurt worse, it hurt worse. And so I began to feel sorry for myself. And I began to cry, you know, Lord. I just began to weep. Why did you tell me? I did everything you told me to do, Lord. Have you ever been in that place? You ever been there? And I, big old tears run down my cheeks. The devil told me, he said, you're going to be operated on. You might as well go to the hospital. And I had a good friend, had a little boy, 6 years old, who had a tonsillectomy. And that's an everyday occurrence, you know. This little boy was as healthy as the old saying, healthy as a horse. They put him to sleep, and the little fella never woke up. The devil said, that's what's going to happen to you. He said, you're going to die on the operating table. Now, the next day, I was going to preach a convention for our Church of God in Christ in Kansas City. That's a black full gospel fellowship. And I'd never preached before for black folks. And I tell you, I was really looking forward to it. I heard that if you had any preach in you, boy, they'll pull it out. Hallelujah. And I want you to know they'd do it. I'd say, and the word says, and they'd say, what does it say? What does it say? Hallelujah. I've never danced in the spirit before. I went up there, you know. And that night, whenever I prayed, the first night I prayed for every folk, I think every person in the congregation was sick. And they was falling out, they were spinning around, they was dancing, and they had about 20 electric guitars, and they had a 100-voice choir, and every person in that choir had a tambourine. They had 2 electronic organs, 2 grand pianos, and there's all, I mean, that really, boom, boom, boom. And I remember praying for about 4 or 5 of them, and that's about it. The next thing I knew, I heard the bishop, the pastor say, man, look at that little preacher go. See, he's doing the Big Apple. Hallelujah. Well, I was really looking forward to this convention. And the devil said, you'll not preach it. You'll not do this. You'll not do that. And you know he's the father of the lie. You know that. And finally, I said, Lord, I've done everything you told me to do. Why don't you heal me? And this little still voice deep down on the inside of me said, have you done everything that I told you to do? And I said, yes, Lord, everything. He said, well, if you've done everything, then why don't you thank me for it? Oh, and the light of revelation opened up on the inside of me. And I raised my hands to heaven, and still tears were coming down my cheeks, but not tears of pain, tears of ignorance and tears of stupidity. Oh, we're so ignorant, so stupid. And I began to worship God. I sang, you're all I need, Jesus. You're all I need. And I began to sing in the spirit. And suddenly my body got just as stiff as this podium. And I didn't make it that way, and I couldn't stop it. And I began to bounce on the floor, just bounce. And there was 3 other people there. Now, I don't know how long I bounced, but when you're one doing the bouncing, 10 seconds is a long time, I'll tell you that. And somebody said, how'd you feel? I don't know. I tried to forget it as quick as I could. But it stopped. Hey, I was scared to death. I didn't know what was happening. But I knew that God was doing something. Amen. And it stopped just as suddenly as it started. And whenever it stopped, all the pain was gone. Every bit of it. Every bit of it was gone. A little bit later in the kidney action, I passed some little red fragments. Looked like God had just taken his hammer and just beat those things to pieces, you know. And this is God. Now, God wants us to act on his word. God wants us to stand on his word. Whenever the heavens, the atmospheric heavens, and this earth is passed away, God's word will still be here. It will never pass away. An old-timer who lived out west once told me when I inquired about how a prairie fire was, he said it's the most devastating thing that he had ever been in. I said, where can you find safety? He said, the only place to find safety is to get on a patch of ground where the fire has already passed. He said, it'll not burn there. Now, folks,
The fire has passed on the Word of God. His Word is always anointed. His Word is always real. In Romans 10:8, it says, the word of faith is nigh thee, even in thy mouth. Hallelujah. Get the word of faith down deep in your soul. Stand upon God's word. Stand upon it. No matter what comes or what goes, no matter who says what, stand upon the word of God. Now, we as God's children have some things that we have got to do. And if we don't do them, we will be overcome instead of being an overcomer. Now, a lot of people like to think that all you have to do is just to say, Jesus, come into my heart, be my Savior, follow Him in water baptism. His brother said, I still got water on the brain. Hallelujah. Amen. End of the week, we're going to have a Church of Christ preacher here. Brother Ballard will be here. If you think I got water on the brain, what do you see him? Hallelujah. Amen. He's a humdinger, too. But I tell you, some people just think that's all you've got to do. Just ask Jesus, come in your heart, confess your sins, repent, be water baptized, and then, you know, it's a bed of roses. Now, folks, that's not the case. Now, I'm sorry to disillusion you, but that is not the case. That is not the case. God wants us to be an overcoming company. And the only way that we're going to be overcomers is to start overcoming. To start overcoming. In World War II, if General Patton, if General Eisenhower had not have caused the tanks to roll and the airplanes to come in against our enemy, Nazi Germany, we would have been overcome. The French built a great line to hold back the Germans, and that line fell very suddenly. All of you who have any age on you at all know what I'm talking about or have studied any history at all. But we decided we were going to overcome, and we threw everything that we had into the battle. Now, you are in a battle. Whether or not you want to admit it, whether or not you realize it, you and I are in a battle. And you can go back home to your nice home, my brother, in Chattanooga or Knoxville, and you can shut the doors, or I can go back to my nice home in Paducah and shut the doors and say, well, I'm away from the camp meeting now and the battle's over. Oh, no. We are in a battle. Paul the Apostle said this, that we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and wicked rulers in high places. We must realize that this is a battle. Now, the Old Testament was given to us as types and examples. God gave it to us. Now, God gave to Abraham, the first Hebrew, He gave him all of Canaan's land. To his son Isaac, He renewed that covenant. To his son Jacob, He renewed that covenant. And to all the seed of Abraham, the physical seed of Abraham, the Jewish nation, the Hebrew nation, God promised the land of Canaan to them. It was theirs. And everyone here knows the story of how that Moses, Aaron, Joshua led the children of Israel through the Sinai Peninsula, and for 40 years they wandered. They could have gone into the Holy Land or the Promised Land just a few months after they left the land of Egypt. But because of unbelief, because of doubt, because of the majority bringing a negative report, the rest of Israel would not believe except for two men. And all of that nation, of that generation, passed away. It was over 20 years of age except for Joshua and Caleb. They were the only ones, including Moses, that went into the Promised Land. Now, a new generation was on the scene. And today there's a new generation on the scene. Today there's a new company that God is raising up. A company that's going to believe God. I'd like to say that everyone in this building today is in that company. But I'm not the one to say. God's not even the one to say. But you and I are the ones to say. You and I make the choice. You might say it, but you can't just say it by words. You've got to mean it. Now, when they went into the Promised Land, the Lord told them to possess the land. I'd like for you to open your Bible to the book of Deuteronomy, please. Deuteronomy, the very first chapter. Now, the Lord told Israel to possess the land in verse 8, chapter 1. Behold, I have set the land before you. Go in and possess the land which the Lord sware unto your fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to give unto them and to their seed after them. He said, it's yours. Go in and possess the land. Now, that word possess has the idea carried along with it that you must go in and take it.
Whenever I think about the word possessed, I always think about a story that I heard a long time ago that took place in the gold mining camps in the western part of our country. There was a camp town or a mining town set up, and this young evangelist went to convert the gold miners. And folks, he had a hard time on his hands. He had taken off a big chunk, and it was hard to chew. Well, the revival started, and he wasn't one to give up, so he just kept on. Well, finally, there was the roughest guy in the camp, and he knew that if he could get that guy saved, that he had the whole camp won for Jesus Christ. And so he concentrated his prayers, and he fasted, and he sought the face of God. So one night this fellow came, and he could tell he was under deep conviction. The next night he was back again, and the next, and on the fourth night, this old miner hit the altar. And whenever he hit the altar, here came everybody in the camp meeting, hit the altar too. But in just a moment, they all began to back up, because that great big guy, biggest, meanest guy in the camp, he raised his old ham hock hands and he held them high. And all he knew to do was to say this. He said, "I stake my claim." And he dropped that hand upon that altar, and the whole building reverberated with what had happened as he hit it. And people began to back away, and he raised that hand again. He said, "I stake my claim." And he slapped that altar again. "I stake my claim." And he slapped it again. Folks, that's what you and I have got to do. We've got to stake our claim. Hallelujah. This is mine, and I'll set up my boundaries, and nobody will trespass beyond where I set my boundaries up. Hallelujah. Go in and possess the land. Now, the 21st verse of this same chapter, once again, the Lord renewed what he said. He said, "Behold, the Lord thy God has set the land before thee. Go up and possess it, as the Lord God of thy fathers has said unto thee. Fear not, neither be discouraged." Now, those last two statements, "fear not, neither be discouraged," tell me that whenever they went into the land to possess the land, that there was going to be some things in there that if they would allow it to, could cause great fear to rise up in their hearts. That could cause them to become discouraged, because there were some things in that land that did not dislodge too easily. Not too easily. Not too easily. In case you don't remember, there were giants in the land. And I love to read about how old Caleb, 80 years of age, an old man at this time, and his wife Aksa, who stood by his side and encouraged him. Whenever the possession of the land was passed out, remember Joshua and Caleb were the two spies who 40 years before brought back the positive report and said, "Our God is able, we can go and possess the land." And everybody else said they couldn't. And I can see old Caleb right now look at Joshua, his captain, the captain of the host of Israel. And whenever Joshua said, "Caleb, what part of the land do you want?" And he looked back and he said, "I want you to give me the mountain of the giants." He said, "I want the hardest part. I don't know if these young guys can go in and possess it or not, but," he said, "I know that I can." Hallelujah. And his wife, Aksa, stood by his side, and she encouraged him and said, "Go on, Caleb, take the land." And he drove out those giants off that mountain. And the mountain, I'm sure, became known as the Mountain of Caleb. Hallelujah. Raise your hand up and thank God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. There's giants in the land. And the Lord said, "Don't be afraid of them, and don't be discouraged." Now, brothers and sisters, God's giving us the same command. He tells us in the book of Luke that we need to possess our souls with patience. There's things within us that we are going to have to possess. We're going to have to possess in the name of Jesus Christ. There's things in us that we're going to have to conquer. There's giants that live in the soul of every man, woman, and boy and girl that's ever been born in this world that's under the curse of sin. We've got to drive them out. We've got to possess that land. In the Greek, the name Genae means land, nation, or people. Hallelujah. I want to possess my land for the Lord Jesus Christ. Every section of me, every portion of me. The Lord said, "Don't be afraid. Keep at it. Don't be discouraged. It'll happen." Now let's go on over to the third chapter of Deuteronomy, the 18th verse. Once again, the Lord speaking to us. "And I commanded you at that time, saying, The Lord your God hath given you this land to possess it, Ye shall pass over armed before your brethren, the children of Israel, all that are meet for war. Hallelujah. I remember he said, it's yours. Go take it. Then he said, don't be afraid. Don't be discouraged. Oh, there's things in there, in that land, that could well make you afraid, that could well make you discouraged. Then he tells you the reason why. Because those that go in had better be ready to make war. Hayaramahaya. I like that. Make war. Make war. Make war. Make war. That's what overcomers are. There's those that go in and they lock in a life-death struggle with the enemy and they overcome. So many folks say, well, Jesus did that already for us. Yes, he did. But we have to go in and possess it. We have to go in and lay our claim on it. And I'll tell you what, every devil in hell is trembling whenever the lips of a precious saint of God says, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I take possession of this land. Hallelujah. He said, go ready into war. Get yourself ready. Put on the armor. Be ready to make war. The New Testament tells us that we should put on the full armor of the Lord. Put on the helmet of salvation. Put on the breastplate of righteousness. Put on the girdle of truth. Shod our feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. And hold that shield of faith, wherewith we shall quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and forget not the sword of the Spirit. Oh, I love that sword of the Spirit. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Maybe I'll be able to minister on that sword of the Spirit, if God will let me, one of these days. Hallelujah. Cutting down the enemy. Oh, blessed is the name of the Lord. Just to cut him down. I love to see the enemy cut down to size, don't you? Hallelujah. All right. Get ready for war. And everyone that passes over the Jordan, let them be men of war. That doesn't exclude you ladies. This is in a generic sense. It means all of Israel. Some wasn't left out. Even the little boys and little girls went across. Even the old men and the old ladies and the beautiful young maidens, they all went across, as well as the men of war. But he said, every one of you better be as a man of war, prepared to make war. But look at verse 22, the same chapter. Ye shall not fear them, for the Lord your God, he shall fight for you. Raise your hand up and say, thank you, Father. He says, you be ready to fight. You have on the armor. You cross over to make war. Remember this. I'm the one that's going to do the fighting. Oh, hallelujah. It's not by might, it's not by power, but it's by my Spirit, saith the Lord. It's by God's Spirit that the mountains will be removed. It's by the Spirit of God that the giants will be driven out. The wonderful thing about our blessed Heavenly Father is, he says, this land is yours, that heavenly promised land. And he tells us that there's strange things in that land. But because I gave it to you, if you go in and you make every preparation to drive them out, he said, don't worry, I'm the one that'll do it. I like what it said whenever the angel rebuked the devil as they disputed over Moses' body. He said, the Lord rebuked thee, Satan. He said, the Lord rebuked thee, Satan. So even an angel, in his own name and in his own strength and in his own power, could not stand against the might of our adversary Lucifer. But blessed be the name of the living God. 1 John 4:4 says, greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. Who's in you today? Tell me. Tell me. Who's in you? Tell me his name. Tell me his name. Say it again. Say it again. Whenever you say the name of Jesus, it drives fear into the hearts of all the enemies of God. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Say his name one more time. Yeshua. Yeshua. Hallelujah. Oh, I like that. I like that. All right, now, there's some things that we need to do to take the land. Now, let me review thus far what I've given you in Deuteronomy. First of all, he said, it's yours, go take it. Deuteronomy 1:8. 1:21 said, don't be afraid, don't be go take it. Deuteronomy 3:18 said,
pass over the Jordan armed. Be ready to make war. The 22nd verse said, I'll fight for you. Now, just because he said he'll fight for you doesn't mean that he's going to fight for you. There's still some things that you and I must do. You see, he told us to possess the land. Jesus told us in the book of Luke to possess our souls with patience, and patience possess ye your souls. So there's some things that we must do. There's some areas in which we must lay our claim, which we must be unmovable, which we must be solid as that solid rock upon which the church is built. We must lay ourselves as a living sacrifice upon that cornerstone, the Lord Jesus Christ, which was rejected by the builders, a stumbling block to the Jews. But I want you to know today who is the Savior of all of those that will call upon his name. Blessed is the name of the Lord. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. In the 4th chapter, he gives us a number of things that we must do in order to possess the land and to get the Lord to work for us. Verse 1. He said, Now therefore, hearken, O Israel, unto the statutes and unto the judgments which I teach you, for to do them that ye may live and go in and possess the land which the Lord your God giveth you. Now, brothers and sisters, the Hebrews could not possess the land unless they would hearken to the statutes and the laws that God gave to Israel. To hearken means to listen, to hear them. You must hear the word of God. The Lord said to Joshua in the 1st chapter of Joshua, the 7th, 8th, and 9th verses, he said, Let not your eyes depart from this book, but meditate therein day and night. Let your lips have the word of God upon them. And then he said, And you shall prosper, whithersoever thou goest. Oh, I like that. Oh, I like that. Hear the word of God. Hear the word of God. Hearken to it. Listen to God's word. So the first thing that you're going to have to do in order to possess the land, to possess your own souls, as Israel was instructed to do, is to hear the word of God. And you know, the Bible speaks about the manna that the children of Israel ate in the wilderness, that this was the word of God that came down from heaven. All right, they ate the word of God. Of course, Jesus Christ in the New Testament was the Word of God made manifest in the flesh. We need to eat the Word of God. We need to sleep the Word of God. We need to meditate in the Word of God. We should not allow it to depart from our eyes. I like what Brother Worley told us when he was in Paducah here a while back, that the walls of his church building have been covered with scripture passages all over the building. Tell us about it, Brother Wynn. Tell us how you did it. Tell us about the scripture passages you put on the walls of your building, would you? It's the mind begins to wander and they look up. Oh, they're laying on the floor. Hallelujah. Beautiful. Hey, I like that. Why do they lay on the floor in your church for, brother? I'll tell you what, these charismatics, you know, strange things happen. Amen. One brother calls us charismaniacs. Hallelujah. That might be a fitting term. Hallelujah. Amen. All right, get the word of God. There's a group known as the 23rd Psalms in Nashville, Tennessee, which was rehabilitated drug users. This was back in the early 70s. And they had the Word of God everywhere on the walls in their little house. It was a communal type house. Everywhere the Word of God was pasted up, cut out the letters, and pasted on the walls. I'm not telling you to decorate your house that way. But what I'm saying to you is to hearken to the Word of God. The second thing he said to do, and this is found in the 2nd verse, is not to add unto the word of God, which I command you, neither shall ye diminish aught from it. Don't add to and don't take away. Remember, God's word is clear and plain. Don't say, yes, it says that, but it means this. And Jesus, in the book of Revelation, had a very stern warning to those who would do that. He said, those who would add to or take away from this book, that their name shall be blotted out of the book of life. Take the word of God as it is. Don't add to. Don't take away. Don't add to. Don't take away. And the word of God tells us that the wives should be in subjection to the husbands as unto the Lord. In that same chapter, it tells us that they both should submit themselves in the fear of God. In other words, God comes first. I've known some men who would take the privilege that God has put them in as the head of their home and make their wives do immoral things and say things like this. I'm the head of this house. The word of God says so, and you're to submit to me. Oh, no, that's adding to. God's word says submit yourself to God first. Hallelujah. Let your life be wholly submitted unto God. Then you submit yourselves to your husbands as unto the Lord. When they tell you to do, and it's not wrong, and that man has submitted himself to God, then you do it. Hallelujah. And you know, the word doesn't say you ladies have to love your husbands anyhow. Hallelujah. That says he's supposed to love you. And if he don't love you, you come and tell me. I'll have a talk with him. If he hadn't told you that he loves you, he'd be telling you before this camp meeting's over. Or who knows? You might not have to have him around for a while. Praise God. You know, the wonderful thing about the word of God, it either makes people glad or mad. And either way, they begin to move. And I really don't care. Hallelujah. I like to see a reaction out of people. Can you say amen? Either get glad or get mad. Hallelujah. But there's so much of the power of God around here. We're going to have to stay glad. Praise God. All right. Don't add to it. Don't take away from it. Verse 6, the third thing. Keep therefore and do them. For this is your wisdom and your understanding in the sight of the nations. Keep God's word. Don't just listen to it. Don't just say, this is what it says, and then not do it. And he says, keep it and do it. For this is wisdom. Everyone wants wisdom. You should want wisdom. Because it's the highest thing that you'll ever get in this life. It's the highest thing as a born-again child of God that you'll ever get. With wisdom, there'll come every other thing that you need from the Lord. Everything. And here he tells us how to get it. If we will keep and God's blessed word. The fourth thing is down in verse 9. Take only heed to thyself and keep thy soul diligently, lest thou forget. In other words, he's saying do it diligently. Don't forget. Another word for diligence is to tend. I remember whenever my dad, when I was a boy, he'd leave in the morning to go to work. He'd say, now, son, there's certain things I want you to tend to whenever you get home from school, before I get in from work. Now, this is a pretty strong word when he said do it diligently. That's pretty strong whenever Dad said, you better tend to this. How many of you fellas know what I'm talking about? Amen. It was a day whenever the parents spoke and the children said, how, when they said jump, they said, how high on the way up? Today it looks like the children look at the parents and say, you jump. And the parents say, how high on the way up? Now, you're not raising children in the right way. You're not raising your children in the right way. Somebody said, well, you don't have to be an old mean crab. No, you don't have to be, but you better obey God's word. He says, train up a child in the way he should go. When he's old, he'll not depart from it. The word there for train means the same way as you train an animal. Some children act like little animals. I said, some children act like little animals. You know, monkeys just see, they see and they do. You might do some examining there. See and do. Generally, a child will take on the same spirit that its parents has got. Jacob took on the same spirit that Rebecca had. Isn't that something? A spirit of subtlety, craftiness. She must have taken it on from her father. Her brother Laban had it also. When Jacob met him, he met his match, didn't he? Had his wages changed 10 times. Married, thought he was marrying Laban's beautiful younger daughter. Went to bed that night in the bridal chamber. They didn't have any lights in there. The next morning, whenever the crack of dawn came, he looked over at the beautiful face of his beloved. Who was it? Leah, the weak-eyed older sister. Man, how do you think you'd have felt? I imagine he thought, oh, he complained about it. He said, well, that's all right. He said, it's just a custom, so we can't marry off the younger before the older. But you can have the younger. All you have to do is work 7 more years for her. That's all. That's true love, fellas. Hallelujah. That's true love. No wonder he loved her so much. All right, now, keep the word diligently. Don't forget it. I want to suggest a book in the book of Psalms 78 will tell you what happens whenever people forget the word of God. Psalm 78. They forgot it. And what happened? 1,000 died. The fattest of them And the word for fat man meant the most prosperous. God slew those that he had blessed the most because they forgot God's word. Don't forget God. And the next thing is, it's also found in verse 9 and in verse 10. Now I'll just refer to verse 9. Teach them thy sons and thy sons' sons. Teach the word of God to your children. Teach the word of God to your grandchildren. One reason why God chose Abraham to be the father of the Hebrew nation was that he diligently taught the word of God to those in his household. You can find that in the book of Genesis. He diligently taught it. He did not, he was not complacent or leisurely, but he hastened to teach the word of God. And you know, old Lot knew God's word, and his wife knew God's word, but they hardened their hearts against the real word of God. What happened? His wife turned into a pillar of salt. What happened to Lot? He became an incestual father of his own grandchildren. You see, we need to teach the word of God to our sons and our sons' sons. Teach it to the men. Teach it. Did you know that the problem today in America, with all of this rebellion, the ERA, and this convention that the women had down here in, Dallas or Fort Worth or Houston, down in Texas here just last month, is the reason because the men have not been taught the word of God. If the men knew what God wanted them to do and would teach it to their sons and to their sons' sons and become the kind of men that they ought to be, the women, that there's God built into the woman, something that cried out, God kind of a man. Built in there. Whenever we get to become or try to become, and with God will make us that, we wouldn't have all this problem. This abortion is ridiculous. Because we haven't taught the word of God to our children. Drill it into them. Lord, drill. Eat it. Sleep it. Walk it. Let not your eyes depart from it. Remember, we're talking about possessing the land. Verse 15 is the next thing. Take ye therefore good heed to yourselves. 16. Lest ye corrupt yourselves and make you a graven image. A graven image. Now verse 19. And lest thou lift up thine eyes unto heaven and thou seest the sun and the moon and the stars, even all the host of heaven, shouldst be driven to worship them and to serve them. If we'll not do what God's already told us to do, there's built into a man the capacity to worship. And if he doesn't do what God told him to do, he's going to worship something. Man has got to have a God. Every primitive society in the world that we've discovered in modern days has proven to us that they had to have a God. These Aborigines who were discovered just about 2 or 3 years ago in the Philippine Islands, a historical or prehistoric group of people, they had gods that they worshipped. Why? Because there's built into man that thing that has to worship God. And if we'll not take the word of God and teach it, listen to it, let not our eyes depart from it, hearken to it diligently, not forget it, then we're going to worship something else other than the true and the living God. How many people today are worshiping the almighty dollar? How many? We just passed the Christmas season. The merchants in downtown Paducah said, well, they always had a Christmas parade this year. He said, well, said, we're too busy selling stuff to have a Christmas parade. I said, hallelujah. Of God. And I'm going to put on a move in the city of Paducah, Kentucky for the Christians next year to have a Christmas parade. Hallelujah. For men and women who are born again and washed in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ and march shoulder to shoulder throughout the streets of downtown Paducah, Kentucky and show them what a real Christmas parade's all about. Amen. Amen. Then have a resurrection service at the conclusion of the parade. I believe in resurrection services. How many of you can say amen to that? I tell you what, for too long I had those dead and buried services. I believe in those resurrected kinds. Hallelujah. I've been to the tomb. It's empty. I laid my hand on what's left of the slab where his body was laid. There's nothing on it. Hallelujah. The stone's been rolled away. Hallelujah. He's alive forevermore. Blessed be the name of the Lord. All right, verse 23. Take heed unto yourselves, lest you forget the covenant of the Lord your God, which he made with you
and make you a graven image or the likeness of anything which the Lord thy God hath forbidden thee. For the Lord thy God is a consuming fire, even a jealous God. He's saying, remember God. Remember God, or you'll be consumed. The enemy won't get you. God will get you. Did you hear me? The enemy won't get you. God will get you. And you know what? Sometimes God will use the enemies of the Lord to wreak havoc upon the children of God whenever they don't possess the land. When they don't possess the land. Oh, blessed is the name of the Lord. Verse 39 now. Know therefore this day, and consider it in thine heart, that the Lord, he is God, in heaven above, and upon the earth beneath, there is none else. Thou shalt keep therefore his statutes and his commandments, which I command thee this day, that it may go well with thee and with thy children after thee, and that thou mayest prolong upon the earth, which the Lord thy God giveth thee forever. Say that word, forever. Say it again, forever. How many of you want it to go well with you? How many of you want it to go well with you? God's blessings is what he's saying. Amen. How many of you like to live a long time upon the earth? How many of you like that? Would you like to say amen if you would? If you want to die right now, we might be like one preacher, you know, he had an annual revival meeting for 20 years at the same church. And every year, whenever he closed the revival, he'd ask the converts to stand up. The same ones, plus maybe one or two others that got saved the year before, always came down, got saved again. 20 years he'd been doing that. Last year he got so fed up with their backsliding ways. He hid in the pulpit a little something. When he finished his sermon, he said, now I want everybody that got saved in this 20th annual revival to come to the altar. They all came. They were smiling. Oh, we got saved. Practically the same bunch had been saved year after year. He reached inside that pulpit and he pulled out his 38 revolver. He cocked it. And he said, now that you know that you're really saved, he said, I'm going to kill you before you can backslide. Hallelujah. Now, if you can't say amen, say, oh me. Hallelujah. That might not be good doctrine, but it's good preaching. Hallelujah. Now, listen. We need to do what the Word of God here has told us to do. We need to stand by the Word of God. We must realize that there is a challenge before you and I. The challenge is the command of God to go in and possess the land. We've got to do that. And the only way that we can possess the land or even know who the inhabitants of that land really are is by the Word of God. Now, somebody's asked me one time, well, do we have to keep all the Ten Commandments? Do we have to? The answer is yes, you must. Somebody says, well, wait a minute. I thought that was in the Old Testament. We didn't have to do that. But Jesus put it this way. He said, the first and the greatest commandment is this. Love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. And the second one is likened to the first. Love your neighbor as yourself. And upon this hinges all the law and all the prophets. Those are our commandments. And if you'll do those two things, then you've fulfilled it all. Amen. 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 Our keynote message is a message of love. Love to Almighty God first, foremost, always. Love to our fellow man, secondly. Our brothers and sisters, if we'll keep that message in mind and hold it up before God daily, everything else that we hear will fall into subcategories underneath those two things. This is what we need. This is what we must do. We must possess the land. And I want to encourage you to do that. Now, I've laid the groundwork in this message. The next time the Lord enables me to minister, or allows me to by his grace, I'll be moving on in into our family relationships as we ought to move into them. Teaching, first of all, and ministering of what the priest of the home should be, what he should be, who he is, what should be his actions. And the other members of that household, how do they relate to God Almighty? And how do they relate to that priest in that home? Did you know, ladies, that your husband should be the priest of your home? Hallelujah. He should be the priest. Praise God. And teaching, ministry. I appreciate you this morning. I appreciate the way that you listen so tentatively in his old hoarse voice. I appreciate your prayers. And I don't be able to do much saying, but we'll keep on doing a little teaching, preaching, if the Lord helps us. Hallelujah. And I believe that he will. Can you say amen? Amen. I want you to stand with me now. Now, God showed me that whenever his word is preached in power and authority, the truth of his word, and people accept it, as I've begun to see you accept it today, and as you've accepted it in this camp meeting as it's come forth from the lips of God's anointed ministers, and he always confirms his word with signs and with wonders following. God always does this. He always does this. And there's no reason for him not to do it today. God wants to minister to you. Now, the gifts of the Holy Spirit, all nine of them, Jesus operated in that realm all his earthly days. He never did one, not one supernatural event in the life of Christ took place outside of the category of the nine gifts of the Holy Spirit. This is what the church needs today. They need, first of all, the love of God, the love toward man. And then they need the empowering of the gifts of the Holy Spirit. God wants to move in our circles here today. God wants to move. The Lord showed me that there's someone here today that's sore, just sore on the whole upper torso of their body. Sore all over. Just sore. No reason for it, but you're just sore. God wants to minister to you this morning. God wants to touch your body, sore in the arms, chest, back, the whole upper torso of the body. There's a soreness and aching. It's not there constantly, but whenever you move, you feel it. God wants to just cover you with his glory. He wants to just minister to you today. Hallelujah. He also showed me that there's an individual here today, just like a black veil across their forehead. Just like a black veil across their forehead. I don't know whether this is their eyes. I don't know what it is, but seemingly it's something to do with this part of their body. Maybe their head, their brain, or maybe in their vision. I don't know. But God wants to just lift that veil, just to lift it up and to cause it to be gone. We wrestle against things that we never see unless God lets us see into the spirit realm. And we don't see in the spirit realm all the time. I'm hesitant about the ministers who say they do. You know, I'm not saying that I have it all. Certainly I don't. Certainly I don't. I'm just a beginner. But I know that Jesus, from time to time, will let us see things into the realm of the spirits. And whatever we do, he never fails to deliver and to make whole. Now, if you're here this morning and you have a need in your body, or if you have a need in your life, a financial need or any other kind of a need, maybe it's a need in someone back home, I want you just to leave your seat. And let's just come. Let's kneel all across the front of the building. And we're going to pray with you. The other ministers are going to join me. I want you to come and let's just worship God, can we? Praise God. Let's sing it together. Lead us, honey. Hallelujah.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.